we have to remember that nature mirrors us. So we are like that. So what I need today is going to be different than what I need tomorrow, which is going to be different than what I need in a year.
This is the Alchemize Life podcast, and I am your host, Ava Johanna, transformational mentor, speaker, teacher, and most importantly, a woman on a mission to bring wellness to the world. This podcast was created to bridge the gap for anyone craving more love, health, and happiness in each and every day. And with every episode, you will receive practical guidance to create magic in your own life. Combining the expertise of wellness visionaries and thought leaders, each week we will bring it back to basics and provide you with the tools meant to empower you to thrive emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So together, let's ditch the mean girl, you can't sit with us vibes, grab your favorite yoga pants, and start to find your uniquely alchemized life.
Okay, you guys, let's talk athletics CBD oil. Last week was crazy. I had a lot of stuff all around LA. We went to Disneyland. I was just busy. And today I'm actually moving. So my body has definitely been put through the ringer. And I am so grateful to have Athletic CBD oil as one of my daily supplements and go-to for muscle recovery. So Athletic CBD oil has glutamine, full spectrum hemp oil, vitamin B, zinc, magnesium, and essentially what all of these supplements do is help your muscles recover faster and decrease inflammation in the body. I love Athletic CBD, and you guys know that I love Athletic CBD. I am a proud partner, and they've been working with me since the beginning of the year, and I just truly believe in this product and this company. If you have yet to try Athletic CBD, you've got to try it. Head to athleticcbd.com and use the code ALCHEMIZED15 and you'll get 15% off of your order. I'll link it in the show notes, but again, that's athleticcbd.com and the code is ALCHEMIZED15 for 15% off of your order. Hi guys, welcome back to the Alchemized Life podcast. Ava Johanna here. We are officially on episode number 52, and we are coming up so quickly on the year anniversary / birthday of the podcast. I cannot believe how quickly time has flown and how many incredible human beings I've been able to connect with over the past year because of this podcast. And I'm not just talking about interviews. I'm also talking about the community that has began to grow around the podcast and talking to you guys and meeting you in person. And it's so cool to see how these collective conversations can create community. And I'm just so grateful for it. So before we jump into today's episode, I just want to say thank you. Thank you guys so much for your support. Thank you for tuning in weekly. If you're new to the podcast, thank you for giving us an opportunity. The Alchemized Life is my baby, and it's just so amazing to see it grow and to just kind of like have a forecast of like what's coming next. Like I'm just so excited about all of it. And this excitement has really been my fuel to show up on a weekly basis and, you know, put in the work of this podcast, because it's definitely hard work. It definitely takes a lot of time, but it's all worth it. And I couldn't ask for a better element of my business and a big element of my business. So thank you guys. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. And, you know, I'm really excited for this episode because Kelsey Patel is such an energetic goddess. I don't even know how to describe Kelsey. She's just so amazing. And you guys are really going to love this episode. I got to record with Kelsey in person in LA, and she is just this radiant beam of light. You know, I first experienced her through, I think Jordan Younger's podcast was how I first experienced her. And then I saw her at the Good Fest with my mom, and she's amazing. And in this interview, you can really, really hear just how much love and, I don't want to say good vibes, but super good vibes Kelsey puts into the work that she's doing. And, you know, she has retreats, she does Reiki trainings, she is starting a podcast. She's doing a lot, and she's doing it all really, really well. And she's someone I definitely admire within the wellness industry. And that's really why I had to have her come on so we could talk about all the work that she's doing and, you know, how to be spiritual and honor your own spiritual path in this crazy digital age and this crazy, you know, corporate age of us all having these super high stress jobs. Like, it's just a great conversation to really start to open your eyes to like how we can really empower ourselves through our own healing modalities and, you know, find the things that work well for us. We talk about Reiki. We talk about her past, I want to say almost like past life, but where when she was in the, she was in politics for a while when she was just leaving high school. And it's a really interesting conversation. And I think the duality between being in the political space and then the wellness space is just really cool. So we get a lot into that today. We also talk about EFT and we talk about all these different ways to really approach your wellness journey. So you guys are really going to love this episode. And I'm not going to talk any longer because I really just want you to listen to it. And I can't wait to hear all of your feedback. As always, you can head to the show notes. There's going to be all the details for everything that we talk about as well as our sponsors. If you like this episode, it would mean the world to me to see that you enjoyed it and to hear from you guys. So sending me a DM or posting on your Instagram stories, tagging the podcast at The Alchemized Life, tagging Kelsey at Kelsey J. Patel. It's going to be a fun one, guys. So let's jump into today's episode with Kelsey Patel. Hi guys, welcome back to the Alchemized Life podcast. I feel so lucky because today I'm sitting here with Miss Kelsey Patel and I could not be more excited to jump into this conversation with you.
I'm so excited and I just got to hear the most lovely story from you about how we actually first connected and the first time our energies swooped in together at the Good Fest and you told me that your mom was with you.
Yeah. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Lots of love.
So I want to hear your whole story. I'm kind of coming into this with I've experienced you in person, but I've done research on you, but I don't know everything. So when did you first become a Reiki healer? And have you kind of had a life growing up of always being tapped into spirituality and wellness, or was this something that's been a journey and progression?
So it has definitely been a journey and progression. I like to say I kind of came to Reiki on my knees. And I grew up in North Dakota. I would say I grew up in a very loving, somewhat contained, sheltered life. You know, we traveled a little bit, but kind of maybe going out to like an island or to Minneapolis, the big city. And so I never really had a ton of exposure. My mom definitely loved like naturopathic stuff and the healing touch. So I had little moments of being exposed to it. But as teenagers and kids, you know, we were like, what is this? Yeah. This is stupid. Stop touching me. So I didn't really have a lot of like energy exposure and sort of the metaphysical healing realm or crystals or any of that stuff. And then I went to school and then I worked in Washington, D.C. in the United States Senate. And they certainly don't talk about meditation there. I don't even know at that time if there was anything other than like a Bikram yoga studio around me. And then when I moved to I worked there for several years. And then when I moved to L.A., I had been experiencing really chronic back pain and sort of acute, too chronic, I would say, illness, meaning I was always in the doctor's office taking an antibiotic and I would just take them like candy because I didn't know at that time in my early 20s that antibiotics were horrible for your body. I was like, why isn't the doctor giving me an antibiotic? Yeah. Just throw it in. Give me that medicine. That's what's going to help me. And so, yeah, I really didn't have, like I did yoga and stuff, you know, here and there and was always in movement, but never in like breath and body and understanding any of that. So long, slow buildup of what I would call now like chronic stress, getting close to burnout. And then when I moved to LA, my back pain was still pretty bad and I had anxiety and other things. But again, I just thought that that was lifing. I thought that was normal, trying to get your hustle on. And so I ended up meeting this friend and she was really into yoga and meditation. And so she had me go to yoga classes with her and she was starting to go see these certain healers. And my back pain was so bad that I was like, you know what? fuck it. If you told me to eat like cow shit and my back would be better, I would do it. Yeah. So I went on this path, and again, slowly, you know, things started to just open me up. And I learned about Reiki when I had quit my corporate job and decided to open up my first fitness studio. Mm-hmm. And it was called Pure Bar in Beverly Hills. And I did a wellness day because I wanted my clients to have different experiences other than just bar classes. And my esthetician friend had said, oh, can I bring my Reiki master? And I was like, sure. And so she came in, she did Reiki on people, and I looked at it and I thought it was ridiculous.
Did you know what Reiki was?
No, I had no clue. Okay. And I looked at it and I thought it was almost laughable to me, because these people were like holding their hands outside of people's heads and closing their eyes and like telling them to take deep breaths. And I was like, come on. And then the woman had said, her name's Patty, she said, you know, why don't you come in and have a session with me? And she goes, this is my way of saying thanks for having us. I said, sure. So I went in and she did EFT and Reiki on me. And at that point I had gone to so many healers and did so many different things, and I felt great. I didn't feel like cured and I'm done with back pain or anything. I just noticed that I had this long lasting effect of feeling really relaxed. Mm. So slowly but surely, I kept having sessions with her on a weekly basis. And then probably about within a year, I decided to learn Reiki 1 for my own tool to have. And then Reiki 1 became Reiki 2, became Reiki 3, became Reiki Master Teacher. So I never went into the journey being like, I want to go be this public figure and talk about Reiki, because I was definitely one of the people to poo-poo it and not believe in it.
It's crazy how those things change.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I remember I worked at a digital marketing company down in San Diego, and we would build websites for and run ads for different businesses. And there was like a massage studio that also offered Reiki. And this was maybe 5-6 years ago. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, totally. Or even, you know, sometimes I would say even now, sometimes I still, when I go on vacation with my husband or I go somewhere, and I go to the spa, it's like the conditioning of my mind is what I notice. Mm. Is I'll go to these places and all of a sudden I'll be like, why would anybody choose to spend their money on a spa day getting Reiki? And I'm like, what are you talking about, Kelsey? You know how amazing Reiki is. But like my mind is so conditioned, or has been conditioned. It's different now. But I even... as a Reiki practitioner, I would look at things on a spa menu and be like, that's silly.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want somebody to like massage you and touch you or do a facial and do something that you can physically feel? And it's like, of course you feel Reiki. It's just a whole different way.
Yeah. Yeah. More gentle. And that's so interesting, because I feel like that really speaks to just like the overarching mindset of our world right now, is like, if it's not tangible, if you can't like feel it, then it's not real, which is a whole other conversation, which I hope to get into with you today. But I do have a question. Why politics? How did you get into politics?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. I don't think anybody's asked me that on an interview. So I actually love politics, even still to this day. When I was young, we helped, my mom was helping the first female mayor of our town. And so when I was young, I would like be out passing the pamphlets out and going door to door for her. And then when I decided to sort of go into my undergraduate, I decided to study international relations. And it was a very similar parallel to me, international relations and our national politics. Mm-hmm. And my first job out of college was working in the United States Senate. And it's because I had done a summer internship there. Wow. Like, that's something I cannot recommend enough for people, is a summer internship in Congress. It's the most incredible experience in your college years, or for kids or whoever it is. I think it's just one of the most profound experiences. And I loved that internship, loved it so much. And you'd be riding on the underground subway in Congress with senators and with, you know, just so many incredible people. So yeah, that was, I mean, Senator Rockefeller's office was next to us, and he would come in and bring us hoagies, and just, That's so cool. A really cool thing. And so yeah, that was my first job.
So how,
would you say that that's kind of where the conditioning started to come from, of like the skepticism of the spirituality and the more, I guess, energy work versus like actual tangible experiences that we can have?
I think I was skeptical of some of that stuff. I don't know. I feel like it was probably just a societal conditioning that was with me probably for a very long time, because if you have kids and you teach them that this is cool and crystals are cool and let's try to meditate because it's going to help you when you have big feelings, and I love working with kids, versus you being a parent or being somebody in a child's life and watching somebody meditating and saying, oh, that's so ridiculous. That's conditioning right there.
Yeah.
Right. So it may feel like a subtlety, or parents might think, oh, well, they can be whoever they want and they still have choices. But what a lot of us, and I am a parent as a step parent, I have been for many years now, what we don't realize is that all of our subconscious programs and beliefs and patterns come out and they get embedded and imprinted into these teeny little beings who don't have an imprint yet with that. Mm-hmm. They just have an openness.
Yeah.
So I think to some degree, and also, you know, we have to look at sort of the society we live in, where in America, a country that's based on capitalism, everything is about money.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Money is money can be a very good thing when we use it in the right way and with the right intentions and the right energy behind it. But because we live in this country that wasn't formed on family and community and food and all these other things, like so many of us now are like, oh, I love Europe. I hear that all the time. And I think it's not just that we love the food and everything else, but there's the energy, and what charges that country is mm-hmm. different than what charges us in America. Mm-hmm. So again, because of that, when you're thinking about money, some people might say, like, there's no time to meditate. There's no time to take care of your body and do yoga. Again, I'm obviously kind of creating this grand sweeping theme, but I think that's where some of the programming comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had a conversation with Busy Gold last week or 2 weeks ago about all of this, because it's like all of these little subtle things that we may say that we don't think are a big deal are actually like
a huge deal.
Totally a huge deal, and really like molding the children of our future, which is, it's crazy to think that like something as simple as saying something like, oh, that's ridiculous about someone meditating can have that big of an impact.
But it totally does. It'll leave an imprint between, you know, 0 and 7 years old. That's when these kids are creating and receiving all of these different imprints. And just like us, you know, we have them as well. Mm-hmm. So there's so many things that we're probably not even aware of, but it'll come up in different moments of like, wait, why don't I like the color orange? You know, and then it's mm-hmm. like, do I really not like it? Or did my sister or my mom or someone around me that I loved not like it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's and when you start to go into that thinking of like, where are my thoughts and my immediate impulsive beliefs? Where is that coming from?
Yeah.
Is that really where I feel it is inside of me now? Or is it just something that I've imprinted and now I'm going to like bring it up mm-hmm. to reexamine mm-hmm. and see where I want to put it?
Yeah. So what was that process like of like uncovering that conditioning for you? Because I know that there's so many listeners that do feel skeptic about certain things within the spiritual and new age realm, and then also just listeners that are aware that they have conditioned beliefs and are like looking to remove them or process and move through them.
So I would say I'm still doing it. I don't think any of this ever stops. You know, for those that may be skeptical, I totally get it. I was right there with you. And to some degree, I still am. You know, if I see somebody doing this like very dramatic energy healing on someone, mm-hmm. I don't not believe that it's true, but then there's also still this part of me that's like, okay, like, is that show for show and tell, or where is that coming from? So yeah, I totally get it. And I feel like, you know, to me, what I try to teach and what I practice is, how do you feel right now in your life? And if you feel in your life that you're imbalanced, if your health is not doing well, if you're constantly getting sick, or if you have physical pain, if you have anxiety, if you have not been able to find a relationship, even, and I don't just mean a romantic one, even friendships where you feel, you walk away from your friends and you feel full versus a depleted, right? So, or your work, if it doesn't feel purposeful, right? Like last night I had to stay up until 11:30 at night after teaching a full Reiki day, and I was writing a course for Hay House, and I took a moment to watch my programming because I was like, I gotta write and it's gonna be so much work. Yeah, I was totally like stomping around the house and trying to figure out anything else to do, like check fucking Facebook or whatever, to not have to do the work. And then I was like, whoa, this is just old. This is just old. Like, let me shift this right now. I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity to work with somebody that I admire so much in this space. I'm so honored that I get to share Reiki in this format with these people. I'm so excited that I get to fly to Austin next week and record. Like, I had to switch my mind and where it was trying to take me. So, and then I had fun writing it. So I guess for me, it's asking yourself, where am I right now? And if you feel in your flow and you feel peace and you feel harmony, and you, even when ups and downs come in life, because that's part of life's cycle, but your ability to sort of still continue to flow through those moments with a sense of contentment or even just acceptance and peace, it's very different than the highs and lows and like, oh, everything's against me. And like, I had a bad fucking day. And, you know, just allowing yourself to really look at yourself and see where you are.
Yeah.
That to me is a choice. Then do I want to start to reprogram these things or not?
Yeah.
Nobody's here to force you to do it. It's your choice how you want to go through life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that sometimes that can be either a really tough pill to swallow or super empowering to know, like, oh, I get to choose what I think about what I'm doing right now. And I often find myself in that like same situation. I'm like, wait a second, Ava, hold up. You are living the life that you always wanted 2 years ago. What the fuck are you complaining about?
And it's just your mind's way of finding these little, I'll call them like, you know, the weak spots, these parts of you that, again, maybe just have not reconnected and re-energized and re-upped, hydrated, you know, yourself with this actual belief of like, I'm safe to enjoy and be present in this moment of life that I have worked for. Because the ego will always have you and I and all of us believe I've got to do more. There's something else to do. There's somewhere else to be. There's someone else to connect with. There's something else. The ego is constantly in this state of more. And from that place, that's why it can be hard to stop scrolling on Instagram, because the ego's like, more, you know?
Tap, tap, tap.
And if you don't get yourself to acknowledge that you have an ego, like we all do, to then be able to make choices that are in your alignment or out of alignment. So sometimes I still make choices that I'm like, I know this is totally giving into my ego and out of alignment, but fuck it. I feel like watching these Instagram stories for the next 5 minutes. And then I have to recognize when it just wants more and more and more. And then I have to make the choice to say, stop. Now I'm going to go whatever for a walk. Now I'm going to go outside. Now I'm going to go make myself a healthy meal or whatever it may be.
Yeah. What would you say have been like the most profound changes, shifts, tools that you've used to get to this point?
Gosh, I think it's a combination of so many things. I would say EFT has been a real game changer for me. It's emotional freedom technique. It's also known as tapping. Obviously Reiki. I would say boundaries. So I've had some really tough moments over the last, I mean, well, for several years, but I've had some really tough moments over the last year, where year and a half, I've had to, what feels like letting people go in my life, But I know it's not letting go. It's just allowing all of us to sort of go off on our own and do what we need to do. So those have been really, really hard moments. But the boundaries have, I also know, given me so much peace and ability to focus on strengthening my health. And yeah, and then I would say the other thing is my husband. You know, he's really my, I call him like my tree trunk. Like he's just my wood. He's so grounded and he's just able to really be rooted and I can sort of go all over. And then I just come back and I feel so safe to just be supported by him. And then lastly, I would say is the practitioners that I have chosen to support me in my journey. Mm. Obviously my dear friends as well, but acupuncture has been huge for me. Cranial sacral therapy, hypnotherapy. So just a lot of different modalities that I have also incorporated to allow myself to start really working. And I always think that I've done the work because, again, if I listed out to you guys all of the things that I've tried and done over the years, it would probably seem excessive.
Yeah, same.
But, you know, like I grew up in a home with alcoholism and bipolarity in my mom, and my dad was a functioning alcoholic for many years. So like there was a lot of stuff I needed to unlearn because of that feeling of codependency and that feeling of, you know, when I grew up in a very Irish Catholic family and it was all about family and we were together all the time. And so there was just a lot, there's just been over the years a lot of unraveling. And I am a Cancer moon, and so I'm very much a family person, and I am a loyalist to my friends and my family, and I will do anything for them. But I had to start to learn when it's like that I also have to do what's best for me. And I never really gave myself that choice. So that's been a lot of work.
What does that look like? You mentioned like letting go and kind of like coming back to yourself, because I know that, I mean, I struggle with it sometimes where I don't want to let go of certain people, or I have this like grip on expectations of things happening and then I get all out of whack. So is there like a practice, like an actual tangible practice that you do in those times where you feel yourself kind of like gripping onto an expectation or a person that just needs to be let go?
I mean, it depends on, again, I would say we're all, what I've learned over the years and, you know, working very gratefully with thousands of people is we all are these unique, magical snowflakes. And again, for the skeptics, I'm sorry, that sounds so woo-woo, but like bear with me for
it's
a minute.
True.
It's true. There is no other one of you. That's why it's fucking amazing and magical. But I say it to say, you know, in that same vein, each of us has different needs for how we work through that moment in our life. And just like the sky, it's always changing. You don't look at the sky and say, okay, sun, I really like where you are right now. And cloud, you just stay right there to the left a few inches. And then that right cloud just hovering towards the bottom of the sun. So I get just enough warmth.
I do say that, but
you
it
do
never
say that,
usually
but it doesn't
works.
Work, right? It might work for a little bit, but it doesn't work for a continuation. And so that's, we have to remember that nature mirrors us. So we are like that. So what I need today is going to be different than what I need tomorrow, which is going to be different than what I need in a year. So I feel like for me, to go back to that question, one of the things that I always come back to as a practice is journaling. And again, each person is different in how like therapy might be great for someone, or reading a book and really allowing that to process into the body as you're reading. Or for me, journaling, and I'll prompt myself with a few questions like, what am I resisting right now? So those are moments that I kind of take, I give myself space to take the seat of teacher just for a moment, and then I go into student. So I might journal out a few questions to ask myself, like, what is it that I'm scared to let go of? Why do I feel I need a boundary with this person? What is it that I would feel if this person wasn't in my life, right? So just asking these questions, like as if you were sitting with the best friend and what you would ask them. You take that moment to do it with yourself. And then I always find, as much as I sometimes resist a long meditation, if I do a meditation for 15 to 20 minutes, I feel so different by the end. Mm-hmm. You know, because again, it's the ego running around like a, you know, a dog chasing its tail. Oh, what do I do? Should I keep this person in my life? Do I let them go? I'm not sure. Oh, they might get mad. What if I get mad? I don't know. How does my life with that? You know, that's the ego's energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the minute you don't give it permission to do that run around, you sit in a meditation, you're going to feel totally different by the end. And you might even get an answer.
Yeah. Do you have a specific meditation technique that you like, or do you just follow your breath in and out?
So I follow my breath. You know, I'll do a variety of things. Again, is I love, sometimes I'll use Headspace for morning and nighttime. I also love a violet flame meditation if I feel like I'm really moving through something and I want to release something, like an active movement release of energy. Sometimes I love to do, if I'm really frenetic, I'll do, or if I'm feeling anxious in any way, I'll do tapping, or if I'm really tired, I'll do tapping for a few minutes and then I'll do a meditation. And sometimes I'll just play music and follow my breath. Sometimes I'll just lay down if I'm really tired and put my hands on my heart, and I'm sort of reiking myself as I meditate.
If you've been listening to this podcast, then you know I am a huge fan of FabFitFun. I just received my summer box and wanted to vocalize again how much I love this company and the seasonal boxes that make it feel like Christmas comes four times a year. The summer box is seriously my favorite, and I got a spiritual gangster kimono, a super cute gold necklace, living proof styling cream, and so much more. Altogether, the box is worth over $200, and some of these products alone cost more than the $49.99 that it costs to get the box, so it just makes sense to become a FabFitFun member. I love discovering new brands, and FabFitFun makes it so easy, with all of the products being full-size beauty, fashion, home, fitness, and wellness products. It's awesome, guys. Plus, my friend and past podcast guest, Paul Fishman, just released amazing self-love-focused content for FabFitFun TV, their membership online portal. FabFitFun is doing so much for their community, and I'm totally hooked on all of it. So the boxes are usually $49.99, but FabFitFun has been awesome enough to give you guys $10 off for listening to this podcast. To sign up, use my code ALCHEMIZED to get $10 off your first box. Just go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use my promo code ALCHEMIZED to get $10 off of your first box. That's over $200 worth of product for only $39.99. Again, go to FabFitFun.com and use my code ALCHEMIZED to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Okay, so I don't know about you, but I've been seeing Rothy's shoes everywhere lately. Lauren Everts of The Skinny Confidential first introduced them to me via her podcast. Someone wore a pair to my yoga class. I saw them on Instagram. They're literally everywhere. And besides the fact that Rothy's has ultra cute styles of flats, sneakers, and loafers, they are also 100% sustainable. The shoes themselves are knit from recycled water bottles, and they've actually diverted over 25 million water bottles out of landfills. How cool is that? So I had to get Rothy's. I took them out for a test drive last week at Disneyland, and after 20,000 steps in the day, my feet were still totally intact. No blisters, no soreness, nothing. I love a shoe that doesn't require a whole breaking in period, and these sneakers go with absolutely everything. So, like I said, I get the sneakers. I got a pair in black, and it goes with everything, but they also add new colors all the time and have tons of cute patterns as well. You can wear them to work, on a date, down to the beach, really whatever. If you guys want to try Rothy's too, head to rothys.com/alchemize to get your first pair of comfortable and sustainable shoes and check out all the different styles they offer. Again, that is rothys.com/alchemize, and I'll link them in the show notes too.
With EFT, emotional freedom technique, can you share a little bit about what it is? I mean, you just mentioned tapping. So for those that don't know what the practice is, can you share about that?
Yeah, for sure. So you're basically... you can do it on yourself, which is why I love EFT and why I love Reiki, is these are things that you can have in your tool belt of life for just you. So EFT is emotional freedom technique. And the basic idea is you're using your own words, you're using your own body to tap on these different areas where we hold, like in Chinese medicine, there's different places that they put the needles because it has and it holds a lot of qi. Sort of a lot of storage. So in EFT, we're tapping on these different acupressure points, and the vibration of that is intended to help open up and release and move the energy. Mm. And while you're tapping, you're also speaking out a truth, a feeling. It could be, even though I feel so anxious today and overwhelmed, I deeply and profoundly trust myself. Even though I have all this physical pain and my body feels weak and tired, I deeply and profoundly trust that this is just a moment, right? So you say these things, and then there's this positive reinforcement. So again, you want to recognize, it could be, I'm so fucking pissed at so-and-so, and I'm so angry that I didn't get that job, and I'm so, whatever's coming up, you really acknowledge it and you tap and move that energy through you. And then you can end with this sort of affirmation of, and even though I didn't get the job, I trust in the timing of my life. I trust myself, and I know that the right job is coming for me, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I love that so much. And is there a difference between, like, energetically, between tapping for yourself or having someone else tap for you?
Yes and no, meaning tapping is tapping. I've done it both ways. I do it both ways for people. I find that they're both equally powerful in their own way. If you don't feel like you have the sort of, I would say, chi, if you don't have the energy to do some of the own digging and understanding of how you're feeling and what's going on, then I would say it's a great idea to work with a practitioner. And then if you want, you can also look online. There's lots of EFT videos online that you can follow along with.
Yeah. So the first time I ever did EFT was on stage with Gabby Bernstein.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Gabby's such a rock star.
It was really cool. It was a great experience.
I'm sure. And you know, there's, again, like, EFT is just, it's just another tool.
Yeah.
It's just another resource.
So is there any rhyme or reason to the structure of it, of like the words that are actually being used versus the order that you're tapping in?
I tend to use EFT in a very intuitive way. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean, if you were to go and study to be a practitioner for EFT, there's, and I still feel that, you know, even with Reiki and with EMT and certain things, there's all these different, even crystal healing and all these different things. There are so many trainings out there. So if you want to study and go out to train, it would be a different experience than doing it for yourself just to move some energy. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, for most people, it's, yes, there's a difference in sort of how you tap and the way that you move. But if you follow the general guidelines for tapping, of starting at the side of the hand and moving to the temple and the side of the head and underneath the eye and underneath the nose, if you start to get the general rhythm, and you can either write down some of the words so that you don't forget the what you need to say at the side of the hand, just to give yourself a basic outline, then you can fill in whatever feelings that you're having.
Mm. Would you say you've always been pretty intuitive?
I would say yes, but I don't think I always followed my intuition. Mm. I think I denied it for a while, or I think we're all intuitive.
Yeah.
And I know we're all intuitive. I just buried my connection to it for a long time because I tried to be what I thought society and others wanted me to be.
Mm. When did you start reawakening it? Was it when you experienced Reiki for the first time, or a little bit down the road?
I feel like anytime there's a significant moment in life, it can be triggered. So for me, certain things, you know, just all of a sudden when you ask that question, I see certain flashes of my life come through. So I would say, fortunately or unfortunately, like, traumatic things can trigger it and awaken it. Mm-hmm. And I've had different moments in my life that, yeah, I could feel my intuition was like, don't go to that party, or don't, you know, don't leave this room right now because this person needs you to be here. Mm-hmm. And when I was in my early 20s, one of my very first boyfriends, his brother died of cancer, of leukemia. And I was so, so lucky that I was close with their family and I was in the room with him when he died. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, just different moments of, like, that night before he died. Nobody knows when someone's going to pass. You know, they might give you windows of time, mm-hmm. but there's never a certainty. And I do remember, you know, again, feelings that night of, like, just even though you're exhausted right now, like be awake, be here, be with him. If he needs chapstick, if he needs a cold towel on him. And it was just me and my boyfriend that night, and the family, the rest of the family had gone to sleep, mm-hmm. and they got called to rush to the room that morning. So again, I didn't know what was happening, but that was definitely a moment of intuition.
Yeah.
You know, like it's okay that you're exhausted and just like be here tonight with him. So I think we all have that inside of us. And yeah. I would say maybe for those listening, you don't need to have just those big dramatic moments in order for that well of knowledge and intuition to be turned on. You can practice it every day.
Yeah. I practice it on the way over here
when
I was told to go on the 405 or take side streets or the 101.
Yes, so. You just knew. And I was just going to actually say that that's one of my favorite ways to tell people to start practicing with their intuition mm-hmm. is just directionally.
Yeah.
Like if your Waze or your Google Maps or whatever tells you to go right, but you just feel like you're meant to go left or whatever, just play with it a little bit and without needing to have an expectation, without needing to be like, ah, that was stupid. I didn't get there any earlier. Without having any expectation, you're just starting to work this atrophied muscle. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like starting to lift a weight with it.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, because it's like there may not have been even anything different if you took a left rather than a right, but what if you got into a car accident or something happened when you took that right?
Exactly. And that's what it is with intuition. You never know what it is that is on the other side, but that's part of following your own guidance, your own inner, that inner feeling. And it's just, again, my best way of describing it is like you're just working the muscle.
Yeah.
So that when it is a bigger moment and it really does matter, like, don't go in that car with that person. And again, not even for the scary things. It's more to say like, ooh, even though this job is perfect on paper, I just don't feel it. I don't feel like I'm meant to take it. Those are the things that you really want to practice, these other little moments, so that when those bigger moments come in, you just know and you just trust.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I full-heartedly agree. So would you say that once you did like your Reiki 1 training, there was just this like of intuition and just like connection to source?
Yes and no. I think I was so not like, again, like I just didn't want to really let go into all of it and believe it all right away.
Okay.
So, which is why I love teaching Reiki now, because I watched my own students go through all these moments.
Yeah, I definitely did too.
Yeah. Like I resisted it. And then even when I would do Reiki on people as part of my practicum, they would be so happy and excited afterwards. And in my head, I go, wow, there were so many moments when I was doing Reiki on you that I was like, does this person feel it?
Yeah.
Am I doing it right? Is this enough? Am I enough? You know, all of my background stories. So I would say, yeah, I really think the whole journey has gotten me to a place now where I really am. I'll have moments of doubt now and then, but I really have learned the art in this practice, not in many other parts of my life, of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Reiki is far greater and wiser than I am to know what it needs to do and where it needs to go and who it needs to reach.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I had the same exact experience. So my next question for you, which I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on.
Yeah.
So I did my Reiki training, my Reiki 1 and 2, I think like 2.5 years ago. And at first when I was doing it, I would like do it on myself. I'd try and do it on my dog Penny. She didn't really like it that much.
Dogs are very particular about Reiki.
Yeah. Does it start to like not turn off, but like that, is it not quite as potent if you're not practicing it often?
It's not that it's not potent, right? Because it has its own vibrational energy, alchemical energy as well. It's more like, let's say you love yoga or you love tennis and you haven't played in a while or you haven't gone to a class in a while. You're probably going to feel a little stiff and a little sore and a little maybe imbalanced that first practice back on your mat. Or if you're playing tennis, you might be able to swing and maybe you'll miss some and blah, blah, blah. But if you were practicing every day with tennis, if you were on a yoga mat doing different stretching and different things every day, or even on a weekly basis, the cumulative of those experiences and those moments is going to make your ability to just get in, drop in, do it, go full throttle very different.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not gone. It's never gone, especially after an attunement. A lot of students choose to forget that. Is that your attunement is permanent. Mm. And so you have it there. It's the channel is inside of you. It's always been inside of you. It's inside all of us, yeah. Even if you've never been Reiki attuned. But it's the Reiki attunement is really almost like an unveiling and sort of taking away blockages that keep you away from that inner source healing. And so, and your connection to life force energy and to divine source. So, and even now as I'm talking, you can probably feel like it's like coming through. Can you feel that? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like reawakening, and you guys might also all feel it right now too. There's just Reiki that's pouring through right now. It's you receiving that Reiki feeling again right now so that you can remember, reconnect to that divine connection.
I love it. Yeah. I feel it.
Yeah. So it's like warm.
Yeah. Yeah. And like fuzzy.
Yeah.
I feel a fuzziness.
Totally.
So I know because it's different for all of us. Like mine, whenever I feel, I would say just like super, super tapped in, mm-hmm. whether it's to energy, to intuition, to like flow, to divine, I get this like buzzing and energy throughout my entire body. What is it like for you?
For me, because again, I'm a kinetic person, I feel just like a, it's almost a swaying in my body, but it's not, I'm not always physically swaying. It's just this kind of coursing movement, and it's peaceful and it's slow and it's rhythmic. And then oftentimes when I do big events, or like yesterday I did a Reiki 3 attunement for my students, and sometimes the whole room will become almost clouded, like everything's gone. And I can still see like the shapes, and I'm still very present and aware, but it's just I don't know, sort of a lot of the things that we observe as these, you know, two and three dimensional things, they just disappear.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. It's the first times it happened, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like scared and, you know, different things. But it's, again, it's just taken years and lots of surrender.
Yeah.
And more surrender and more surrender.
Yeah. The letting go, I think that's something that I struggle with for sure. So, I mean, have you always held yourself this beautifully with this much confidence, or has it been a journey?
Oh, it's a journey, my love. Of course. Yeah. I also think there's something beautiful about age. So I'm 37. I'll be 38 right around this podcast time in June. So I think there's something that also this beautiful divine movement of confidence and self-care and self-acceptance that comes with age. Mm. So I would say that it's something to strive for, but it's also sort of just a knowing that the more you fall in love with yourself, and the more that you accept yourself, like I accept my quirks now. I accept my weirdness. I accept that some days I like to be like in my PJs and I haven't brushed my teeth all day and I'm doing work and other things. And at 7 p.m., my husband's like, shall we go to dinner? And I'm like, yeah, it's probably time for a shower now.
Yeah.
You know, so I used to sort of fight those things or tell myself like, I've got to get up and I've got to have my coffee and then I've got to meditate and then I've got to do this and I've got to
have mascara on.
Yeah, I must have my mascara and I've got to do a gratitude journal and then I've got to make phone calls and text to people so they know that I love them. You know, just all these things. And now the more that I or you or all of us practice our intuition, it's, that's to me the grace of and the grace and beauty of life is, oh, I trust my timing. I trust myself. And my ego will always want me to jump out of that. So it's a constant practice to come back to center.
Yeah.
In a daily, even for those that are teachers and doing the work, I mean, hopefully most teachers would say this as well. Like it's always a practice.
Yeah. All right, you guys, we're going to take one more last break because Father's Day is coming up. And if you're like me, you want to do something different for Father's Day. I don't live near my dad, so I can't take him out to a movie or lunch. And instead, I'm planning on getting my dad's StoryWorth for Father's Day this year.
So if you haven't heard of StoryWorth, it's an online subscription platform that sends a weekly story prompt for a full year to a family member or friend of choice. It records all of their answers and then delivers you a book containing everything they wrote over the course of the year. My dad has been living in Canada, and before that he lived in the Middle East for 13 years, so I've definitely missed out on hearing all of his stories from his childhood, his 20s, and all the crazy things he's gotten into. There's been some crazy stories. I decided StoryWorth would be an amazing, thoughtful gift to get to know him better and keep him busy over the next year. I got the subscription and set up the questions for the next year, which get sent directly to his inbox on a weekly basis for him to fill out. When I signed up, there were a ton of questions that were already pre-populated to choose from, and then I was also able to write my own questions specific to different points in his life. The team at StoryWorth are amazing in offering all listeners $20 off the year subscription that comes with the printed book. In total, you're only paying $79 for a lifetime of memories from your loved one, which is such a steal. Okay, so here's the details to take advantage of this offer. Head to storyworth.com/alchemized for $20 off your subscription. Again, all you have to do is go to storyworth.com/alchemized.
Yeah, okay, so because this episode is coming out around your birthday.
Yes.
I have to ask, because I ask this to everyone, what are three things that you learned over the past year, and what are three things that you're taking into your new year?
Three things that I learned over this past year. Boundaries. Mm. Confidence. I just signed my first book deal. I haven't even announced it yet. Confidence. Boundaries, confidence, and the power to take back my health.
And three things you're taking into next year.
Three things I'm taking into community. So I am so excited to be building community with people through the book, through my new podcast that's going to be coming out, through this Facebook group I have called Reiki Healer Society. Like, it's just, I love it now, and it doesn't feel forced, and it's so exciting to me. So community, friendships. I have some incredible friendships, and I just love and adore these humans, and I can't wait to keep lifing with them. And can I do four?
Yeah.
Dance. So my joy dance. And my family, my husband and my kids.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for asking.
You in my inner circle now, because I only ask that to my
girl.
Good friends.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk book and podcast. Yeah. I'm so excited to hear that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can
so
you share anything
much
about the book?
Yeah. So it's going to be, it was a super incredible, crazy experience, and I got all these offers on the book, and I had no idea. Like, the book world is just a whole crazy thing that I had no clue about. I think my book agent is so annoyed with me because I ask so many questions. But it'll be coming out in spring of 2020. My manuscript is due July 1st, so I've got a lot of writing to do, which I'm so excited for. And yeah, it's going to be, it's just, I don't think I can share the working title yet, but this whole, the whole idea of turning your burning out and into a whole new level of living this like bright, beautiful, aligned life. And I think a lot of people don't even realize they have burnout, and the chronic stress that we are all under. So the book is really meant to, everybody who's read the proposal in different parts of the book has so far has been like, you're talking to me. And that's really the intent behind the book, is it's meant for everyone to give them all these tools and all of these stories and all of these things to understand that like you're not alone, and that you're so safe, and you're right on time, and you're exactly where you're meant to be. And here's how you can start uncovering the different layers that are keeping you from feeling this brightness, this aliveness, this excitement, and this joy for life.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Cool. It like gives my whole body chills to talk about it.
I can't wait. Okay. Spring 2020.
Spring 2020.
And then the podcast.
So the podcast, I have a podcast now with my soul brother, Ryan Weiss. It's called Break Up With Your Bullshit. And
awesome
that
title.
Thank you very much. And that is more of a workshop podcast. So we launched these 8 series at a time. and they're meant to be listened to back to back so that you can actually do this work that Ryan and I teach with all of our private clients and over the years. So it's really powerful, really incredible. We have our second season of that coming out in probably the next couple months. And then I, after years of being asked to have my own podcast, I finally feel like I'm ready. I never rush these things for myself, even though my ego wants to rush them. I have to feel it in my whole body. So I'm going to be coming out with a podcast. And right now I think I'm going to call it Magic Vibes by Kelsey J. Patel. Or I had the idea of doing Let's Just Say. So sort of this notion of like changing the mind and the ego. And the whole podcast will be just talking about sort of some of the energy going on. It'll be talking about different programs and helping move through different thoughts and different belief systems to start to change those switches and dials. And then there'll be distance Reiki with a meditation in every podcast.
Dope.
So cool. Yeah.
So, okay. So you mentioned the burnout. As a recovering workaholic, how do you stay balanced now? What does your like daily routine look like? I know that there's fluidity in it, but what are the things that like really help you to stay in tune and like discern what you should say yes to versus what you say no to?
So I do a lot of ritualizing in my day. So, and I don't even notice it because it doesn't feel like work anymore. So every morning I meditate and my hands are on my heart and I'm Reikiing myself, and then I'll Reiki my eyes and my mind and like parts of my body. And that really is like that's my hygiene. You know, it's like brushing your teeth. To me, it's cleaning my energy and opening myself up and tuning into myself of how I'm feeling when I wake up, because how would I know? And then it's nourishing my body, whether or not it's my coffee with collagen in it or taking a walk with my husband to get coffee, and just like slow. I have to go slow in the morning because my natural demeanor is to rush. And so I have to sort of pull back and do the opposite very intentionally. And then every day in my life is so different because of my work and because of my life. So I don't have a set schedule, but that's also part of my human design. Is I'm just meant to connect with what is my joy in each moment of every day and follow that.
Yeah. I like that. I think me too.
And I, so again, for people, I would say, you know, some of the things that I think are the most relevant to learn is what your human design is.
And what are you?
I'm a generator.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a projector.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Of course. Yes. So great. And so I think finding out your human design and learning it a little bit to really know like, oh, I didn't, now I know why I love sitting in booths and restaurants.
Yeah. Like, would you say it's more beneficial to like go and see somebody? Because I find I'm a little overwhelmed, like just reading on the website.
I do. I think, or even, you know, listening to your podcast, if you have somebody come on that talks about all of them, so you could even just get an overarching view. But I do think if you can find somebody like my friend Amanda, I'll connect you to. She does sessions over the phone for, I think it's like $125. And again, that might be a stretch for some, but if you give it to yourself as like a birthday gift or you ask your friends, if everybody could pitch in, this is what I want. And it's not a physical thing. It's like, I want a session. And then I also think understanding your astrology and knowing your moon sign to just know how you emotionally move through the world is very important.
I'm a Leo moon.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
But now that you know it, before I knew that I was a Cancer moon, I thought I was fucking crazy. And then when I found out I was a Cancer moon, my friend Steph Zimbari is also a Cancer moon. And like, she and I are the most emo people. And we just hug each other all the time. And we, when we see each other, and it's like, it feels so safe to know that I'm not alone in being such an emotional person.
And I love understanding these things because it's not like you're using it as a crutch. You're really just
deepening
your understanding of yourself and really showing up with compassion when you find yourself reacting or responding to certain experiences or things that happen to us and or happen for us in life.
Amen. Yeah. That's exactly it. There is only a level of self-awareness, self-acceptance, as you said, and like self-kindness of, oh, this is just my imprint. This is just me as a being that I came in here to be. Not like I've got to change these parts of me because I don't like them. It's what if I learned to lean into them and to love on them, and to, instead of starting to reject them and try to be like somebody else who has a totally different imprint, to like lean through all these things, because that's what's real. That's really where the magic is and your potency.
Yeah. Honor thyself.
Yeah. Amen.
So what are three things that listeners can do today listening to this podcast? Maybe if they're driving, wait until they get home.
Yeah.
But to experience some of like the magic of your work.
Oh, goodness. I would say it depends on how far you want to go. I would say I'm really proud. I have a Reiki 101 course on my website, but it's through Mind Body Green. Cool. I'm really proud of that course because it's meant to be Reiki for all. So in that course, you learn how to do Reiki on yourself without even having an attunement or anything. There's EFT videos in there. I also think listen to Break Up With Your Bullshit if you haven't yet. I think you'll find some really deep healing work there. And then follow me on Instagram. I've always been despised to say that, but all of a sudden I'll just get these random messages or hits or downloads, and I'll post something or I'll put it in my stories. And that to me is just another form of community.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like too, you know, you just have this, again, potent energy, and I feel like you can just get Reiki just from looking at your smile and your feed and watching your stories and
it's
stuff.
It's true. I really do. I mean, I feel like at this point, to me, it's like same as meditation. Like my Reiki is always on because it's life force energy coursing through me like it is through all of us. So if you can spot it, you've also got it. Yeah. So if you can feel it, it's because it's just giving permission for what's inside of you to open up and activate. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like that, you know, to me, it's like we live in these worlds now where we're so distanced from so many things. And I am trying to help create a sense of community and belonging and support, not only for everybody else, but for myself too, frankly, because this is what I need to feel healthy and to feel alive, is to feel connected, because it can be very isolating to live in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think it's so cool that we're in a time where we can spot a gap in not necessarily like the marketplace, but like kind of the marketplace, and be like, okay, well, like this is what I needed, and it wasn't there for me when I needed. So I'm going to create this and bridge the gap for those that maybe know that they need it or don't know that they need it, but then they experience it and realize that they like have to have it, you know, whether that's absolutely community or Reiki or yoga, like all of these different tools have really added up. And did I know when I was working my corporate job and had chronic migraines that I needed all of this? Hell no.
No, and you didn't want to know.
Yeah.
That's the difference, is there's a certain time when you finally feel ready to surrender to receiving support and to belonging to a community. And if you're not there yet, that's okay. Nobody's better or worse in these ways. It's just an isness. And I feel like, you know, for me, community and feeling a sense of connection with other humans is my medicine. Mm. And I need that for my own spark, for my own joy. And as whoever finds me and whoever is meant to be connected, like, then we're together and we're there on the journey. But if not, like, there's millions and billions of other people out there where you're going to connect with and you're going to have your tribe, and it's all beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I always love to think about it that way. Mostly when I'm like thinking about relationships, when I'm talking to like my mentees or just my friends, like that feel like they don't have that person or they're never going to find that person. Mm. What are they doing looking? And I'm like, your person's looking for you too.
Yeah. Flip the switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all looking for
each other. I have to ask you now, what's one thing that lights you up today?
Ooh. I think it's been...
Don't think it, feel it.
Okay, feeling it. It's been switching the script a little bit of how I look at the podcast is more so... When I created the podcast, it was really to continue getting my message out to the world and to share people like you with people around the globe that didn't necessarily have access to going to the Good Fest or being in LA. And I had a really interesting conversation with a fellow podcaster the other week that said that every single interview is like getting mentored. And
ooh, I just got chills.
Yeah. Ooh, I see him. So I feel that having this new...
Yes.
understanding of what these conversations are and how much I can deeply grow from them has profoundly changed the way that I interact within the podcast, yes. ask questions, like everything about it. I'm like, I get to sit down with Kelsey Patel and be mentored for an hour. How
That's
fucking cool.
So beautiful. Yeah. And because of that, you're right. You got Reiki today yeah. and you turned your Reiki back on today yeah. because you were willing to receive it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh, I love that.
So that's been lighting me up.
So cool.
Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Yeah,
me.
Of course. It just came through to ask you.
Yeah. Okay. So I love you so much. You are
love
so rad.
You.
How can we support you? What's coming up next for you? And
you're
where
so
can people
sweet.
Find you?
If you're in LA, I will be teaching at Shape Body Shop in downtown. You can look at my website to find it. This summer, I'm leading. My retreats are amazing. They're like my retreats and speaking are the two things that really make my whole body joyful. So I am leading a retreat in Colombia in South America and in Portugal this summer. So you can again find it on my website if you feel like taking this work a little bit deeper and also having a deep, rich sensory like adventure together. And then, yeah, I'm there's lots of other things that I'll be speaking at and doing, and that'll all be on my website. Join my newsletter. I send out a monthly Reiki infused newsletter, and there's usually some really good, just charged energy in there of like what might be coming up this month on a collective, on a universal energy level. And here's some things or prompts to help you work through it.
Mm, and then if they join your newsletter, oh my goodness.
Hey.
They will know first about the podcast and the book.
Yes, the podcast and the book and all the magic. Yeah. So yeah, I'm super excited and nervous to launch the podcast, but I know it's time.
It's time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I'm so happy.
You guys, how amazing is Kelsey? I am totally obsessed with this interview, and I really hope you guys enjoyed it as well. As always, head to the show notes for any links or anything that we had discussed in the episode, as well as all the different links for our sponsors. I am just so happy and grateful to be 52 weeks in, and am honored to have you guys all along for the ride. So we will see you next week, and I hope you all have a beautiful week ahead.